Good morning and welcome to the session. What the heck does diabetes have to do with an obesity session? Well, hopefully I can give you an idea when we talk about the work that we've been doing. Let me start off by acknowledging my colleagues at the Workplace Health Group at the University of Georgia and CDC for their funding of this particular study that I'm going to share with you. And I don't owe anybody anything. Purpose of this project was to evaluate the diabetes prevention program, actually the translation of the diabetes prevention program to a worksite setting. Now, are all of you, is anybody familiar with the diabetes prevention program? Have heard of it? Some of you have. It's a clinically tested program that was found efficacious in a clinical setting for trying to keep individuals who are pre-diabetic from becoming diabetic. And largely what we're talking about is type 2 diabetes due to overweight or obesity. So simply put, it really is a weight management program that talks about how to eat healthy, how to be physically active with goal setting and self-reinforcement mechanisms to it. So when we first looked at this, we thought, this isn't a diabetes prevention program. This is a weight management type of program. It was found efficacious in clinical settings, on average about 5% of weight loss for the average individual. It was about 12 pounds, give or take. But it had never been translated to a worksite setting. There's some preliminary studies that have done it in community-based settings, but really had never been translated to a worksite setting. Now, when I talk about translation, these are CDC's definition for translation. CDC talks about three different phases as part of the translation process: the dissemination, the implementation, and the institutionalization. And I bolded the implementation because that's essentially what we're doing with this particular project. And what we're trying to particularly do is maintain the fidelity to the core components that were originally tested. And that's the key to any translation or implementation of a tested program. And for the diabetes prevention program, these were the six core components of the diabetes prevention program, probably the first three being the most prominent. There is a manual, a booklet, that has 16 lessons that individuals go through over a six-month period of time. There's an individual coach that helps coach them through the experience with each particular lesson, having frequent contact as we go along, in addition to tailoring additional strategies and materials that were added, and of course, support from the network of researchers. Our translation really involved three things. Number one of which was the adaptation of delivery. The original program, diabetes prevention program, individuals for the first eight lessons, first 8 weeks, met weekly with a lifestyle coach for anywhere from about a half hour to about an hour lesson with that coach, individually, one-on-one. And then they met every other week for the remaining 16 weeks or eight lessons. So 16 lessons over 24 weeks. Very high intensity, very costly approach, which is great in clinical settings. Doesn't work so well in the real world and doesn't work at all in worksite settings. So what we tested was probably the other extreme on the continuum of intensity, if you will. We used two mechanisms, one of which was the occupational health nurses that were on sites to provide the technical expertise. They had understanding and training, and we trained them as well in this particular program so that they could answer basic questions about weight management and some of the questions about the program. But secondly, we used what is referred to in worksite settings as a peer health coach. It's a lay health advocate, it's a promotora in many community settings, that type of individual that's located within the individual work group that interacts with these workers on a day-to-day basis, that can provide social support, they can provide reinforcement, they can provide encouragement. They're not the technical experts, but they're not there for that. They're there for social reinforcement. We also, because of worksites, we've got the unique environment that we can provide support mechanisms in the worksite. We provide communications prompts throughout the worksite. We make sure we work with the companies to make sure there are healthy items in the vending machines and company meetings and those typical types of workplace environment supports. And of course, home supports. This population, as I'll talk about, we reached out to their spouses at home. We had mechanisms to information that we sent home for the spouses. They know how to encourage and support the participant. We had a website set up that they could go on. We encouraged spousal support. Many of the individuals we talked to says, oh, my wife's been bugging me to do this. Can she get involved too? Absolutely. Yeah, we'll give her program materials. We'll give her everything that she wants as part of this particular program. So we very much try to encourage the spouses and significant others to participate as well. The organization we work with is Union Pacific Railroad, largest railroad in the United States, about 50,000 workers all west of the Mississippi. And we went to Union Pacific very specifically because we knew they had an ongoing obesity problem through work we had done with them previously. This is Union Pacific data. This isn't our data. This is what we captured before we approached them with this particular project. And clearly, they see increasing levels at about when we started the project, according to their data, about 70% of their population had a BMI of 27 or higher. So we got a very significantly overweighted population. And again, according to their data, if you look at the last line on the table, they had documented the costs associated with injury. One of the reasons we chose this obesity issue, because we knew it impacted not just the health promotion side, but it also impacts the safety and injury side of the equation. And the sites that we worked with were maintenance facilities for Union Pacific Railroad. This is where they bring the big cars in, the engines, to have them maintained and then go back on the tracks where they ship products all over the West Coast. So it's a labor-intensive manufacturing type of position, a lot of heavy equipment, high likelihood for injury in this group. And Union Pacific was acutely aware of what this cost them money-wise. Related to obesity. All right, simple and straightforward. We started with six sites. We randomly assigned those to treatment and control group, and then we had three waves of data. Pre-test, a post-test was at 6 months. We talked about a six-month program with the diabetes prevention program. So at the end of the program, there was also a six-month maintenance period where we provide general information and support over a six-month period. So we got pre-post at 6 months, and then the follow-up at 6 months also was after the maintenance period. We had one of the sites, one of the control sites, had to drop off because it couldn't cooperate with the study, couldn't follow study protocol. So we ended up with three sites that were treatment group and two sites that were control group. The population, as I think I had indicated, was male, white, married, typical very blue-collar population. The difference was, with this particular group, and they were about 95% unionized, there was seven unions at this site, so we had to make sure we got permission with the unions and that we went through the very hierarchy to get that okayed. The difference with this site was that about 91% of our participants had an income of $40,000 or higher. We had 13 to 14%, I think, that were over $100,000. So this was a manufacturing environment that had very good incomes. This wasn't a poor working environment that we worked with. But it was very typical male type of manufacturing environment. All right. Primary outcomes of the study. We called this project the Fuel Your Life Project. To change it is kind of a takeoff on what Union Pacific did with the railroads and to get it away from this notion of diabetes prevention program, because when we did some formative research with them and we talk about the diabetes prevention program, they would naturally say, what? Well, I don't have diabetes. Well, why do I need this? Well, so we started talking more about a weight management lifestyle change program, knowing that even though they didn't recognize this, the vast majority of them were high risk for developing diabetes because they were overweight. If you take a look at change over time, and we did linear growth modeling with this, so the asterisk and change, the significant change, occurred within that individual group. What we saw, simple and straightforward, is what's going on in most of the worksite populations. We saw the control group continuing to rise in BMI, about a 0.3, about a third of a BMI point per year, and that's what we've heard from other studies, and that's what we've seen in other research that we've had, on average about a 3 pound a year gain in the average population, and that's exactly what we saw in this control group. They continued to march right on up. What we achieved in the Fuel Your Life, the treatment group, was basically a flat lining of that, slight decrease towards the end, the maintenance period, but basically what we had was no change whatsoever. The difference between the two groups then was significant, was statistically significant, but it was largely because the control group continued to go up. And same thing with body weight, about a half a pound loss in the treatment group, about 2.5 pound gain in the control group. If we take a look at percent weight lost, what percentage of our participants in the Fuel Your Life program lost some weight in some particular level? And what we see is about 55%, over half of our participation, half of our treatment group lost some type of weight, with only about a third of the control group that lost some type of weight. So there was something going on here. The problem is when 55% lose weight, that means 45% are not losing weight or gaining weight. So that's where we got the weight maintenance over time. But we did see some positive changes going on here across the population. A quick look at the secondary measures of physical activity and diet. And what you see there, taking a look, if you're familiar with the IPAC measures, what we use for this, and the MET values, if you're not familiar with that, these are very high values, very high than what you typically see, which is reflective of a population that spends 40 hours a week on average or even more on their feet doing physically active types of jobs, even though the IPAC tries to control for that. And so what we saw were changes over time, non-significant in both groups. More importantly, I think we saw that there was a decrease in self-reported sitting over time, significant decrease in the Fuel Your Life group, and we saw a decrease, or excuse me, increase, even though it wasn't significant, in walking. So something's going on here. They're spending less time sitting around. They're spending more time walking and being physically active, even though not at significant levels. Diet, quite frankly, we really didn't see much of anything at all. If you take a look at the calories, percent calories from fat, that's about what U.S. averages are, give or take a percent too. We saw very little change over time. Fruit and vegetable servings per day is abominable. That's 0.85. That's not even one serving. It certainly doesn't qualify for what we're shooting for from federal guidelines. And we saw very little change in that over time. So very low levels to start with, and we couldn't increase that. When we take a look at stage of change, we saw generally the kinds of things that we want to. Again, with trans-theoretic model, stage of change, you want everybody to start moving up the line when it comes to the stages. We want to see progression along the stages towards maintenance. And that's basically what we saw, and this is treatment group only. If you look at the maintenance, 29% pre-test, 36% post-test, 40% follow-up. So we're starting to see people that are moving in the maintenance. Action, same thing, went from 21 to 26. Preparation dropped from 29 to 20. So we're seeing a shiftward up into action and maintenance, which is very much what we'd like to see. Similar kind of thing with physical activity, although not quite pronounced, went from 30 to 39% in the maintenance, 18 to 19, 20% in the action, and preparation dropped again from 30 to 21%. So we're seeing some positive things going on, some real positive changes. We just didn't see the big drop that we had hoped and expected when it comes to the weight loss. All right, so what are the conclusions from this? Well, we did see significant changes between our treatment group, Fuel Your Life group, and the control group. Again, largely because the control group continued to increase and our Fuel Your Life group flattened out. A lot of discussion lately in the obesity and the weight management literature about the public health impact of weight maintenance. And we see individuals, and we saw it with the railroad workers that referred to themselves as the railroad physique. And the railroad physique was the railroad physique. Yeah, they had big old pot bellies. We saw that very much that they didn't start out with those big old pot bellies. The guys that were on the third shift, the night shift, because they were low seniority. They were the young guys. They were thin. They were active. It was the older guys that tended to gain the weight. So if we can stop that weight gain over time, we're going to have a significant public health impact on. And that's basically what we've found with this. 55% of the individuals lost weight, so we've got some positive things going on, just not at the magnitude we had hoped. And the question is, where is what we've referred to as that intensity sweet spot? DPP, very effective, 5% change, 12 pounds on average, very high intensity, very resource consuming, a lot of interaction. We went to kind of the other end of the continuum. It was a less costly program, low interaction, providing support and information, but not on a very intense basis. We saw weight management. So the question is, how much intensity do we need to get the impacts that we'd ultimately like to see? From a weight maintenance standpoint, this was very effective. We got the majority of the individuals in this group to either maintain their weight or lose some slightly. But for many individuals that are overweight, we need to go a little bit past that. And we've got a follow-up study we're just starting right now, Fuel Your Life 2, where we're going to kind of go midstream from between the very intense to the very low intense. We're going to kind of do a mid-intensity approach to see if that will work. And something that's a little bit more acceptable about websites that can, or excuse me, by work sites, really don't have the personnel and the resources to do that high-intensity type approach. And I thank you for your attention.